This episode of Slightly Offsides is brought to you by Better Edge, the legal way to bet socially with no fees. Better Edge is an amazing platform that has most sports. We're talking about all the big sports, as well as college football and basketball, MLS, PGA, and European soccer. The lines are better than what you'll get at most any other sports book. Your spreads and your over-unders will go plus and negative, as well as you can also live trade your bets as they're happening. So if you have a horrible bet and you want to get rid of it mid-game and save some capital, you can do that with Better Edge. I got the opportunity to try it out, and now you're going to be able to do that too. Head on over to betteredge.com and get a free $10 right now when you sign up using the code OFFSIDES. That's OFFSIDES at betteredge.com, BETTOR edge.com. Play the game without getting played.
Welcome to Slightly Offsides, your perfect game plan for all things college and professional football. Hosted by Dre and Mike.
Welcome back, everybody, to Season 2 of Slightly Offsides, powered by Better Edge. Play the game without getting played. I have with me Dre, and we are bringing on a new co-host who was a guest last year. Greg, welcome to the team. It's going to be a great year. Three co-hosts now, Slightly Offsides.
Yes, sir. Going to be a good season. I don't think I've ever been more excited for college football.
Yep, it has been an absolutely insane offseason. A lot of storylines going into next year. We're going to touch on a couple of them and kind of walk through some of these, you know, slightly interesting week zero matchups before we start getting to the big boys next week. But yeah, guys, what a crazy offseason. We had a couple of offseason episodes, a lot to unpack, too much for an episode. But, you know, just Greg, what kind of stood out to you this offseason in terms of big storylines?
I think NIL starting to become a big deal has been, you know, a massive storyline. Obviously, it got passed last year, and it's kind of been a shit show, like teams unsure what their boundaries are. And now I think you're starting to see sort of reverse effects, like of the Texas A&Ms. They have like the 52nd highest recruiting class right now. They're not doing well. They've had a few decommitments recently. And those guys killed it last year. So, you know, teams like Miami and Tennessee, they had some momentum on the recruiting trail, and now it's kind of slowed down. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, NCAA gets their shit together and starts, you know, actually coming up with rules. So that's one big thing that I was following during the offseason. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been an interesting offseason in regards to the NIL deals. I mean, it has played a factor into quite a bit, and I think it'll continue to play a factor. I don't know if the NCAA will instate any rules, though. I feel like that was, you know, they will. Now how harsh they're going to be is going to be, you know, that's, you know, they don't want to revert back. And I think that's what the players are going to, you know, be, hate to say bitching, but they're going to be bitching about for, you know, the upcoming year and going into the next few years. And I think even more so going in with the conference changes, I think that was a huge thing that, you know, we're at least getting a couple of teams that are pursuing the conference change idea. I think that was a huge storyline going into, you know,
I think that's a great point. Yeah. I think that's a great point. And it actually, I don't know if you guys saw this morning, but it's nowhere near done. Oregon announced that apparently they're in initial talks with the Big Ten, trying to feel each other out. Big Ten kind of made a move this offseason because the SEC last offseason was really like the SEC's, right? They came out, they said they're going to take on Texas and Oklahoma. Big Ten, I guess, was the ones that really won this offseason in that regard. But yeah, absolutely crazy. The thing that I'm most interested in terms of a storyline this offseason is this is going to be the first year. So we've had, kind of on your point, Greg, the NIL and the transfer portal and all of that. We've had that in the past influence teams, right? Justin Fields to Ohio State, obviously. A lot of, you know, Kenneth Walker, some Michigan State, big impact players. I think this is the first year, though, that we have the opportunity to see potentially a team that's kind of built out of, so to speak, free agents, and how that chemistry is going to translate, right? Because it's one thing to supplement, you know, one or two positions here and there. But when you look at USC, for example, who has, you know, just under 20% of what is going to be their two deep is essentially transfers. I mean, that's the equivalent of kind of like, you're looking at like what the Rams did a couple of years ago in the NFL. Like, it's basically a free agent team. So it's going to be interesting to see, especially in college, how that translates. So that's one of the things that, you know, if it works well, could be here to stay in college football for better or worse. But I'm definitely keeping that on my radar this season.
Yeah. And I think one of the things with that, you know, college free agency, you know, if you miss on a certain position during the recruiting cycle, or you got guys that get hurt, you get guys that leave for the draft, and you don't have that immediate depth behind them, you know, you can plug someone in. Michigan State goes out, gets Kenneth Walker last year. He becomes an absolute superstar, you know, leads them to a surprising 11-2 season. And they got two guys this year. Jarek Broussard from Colorado, there's high expectations from him. I think they got Jalen Berger from Wisconsin. So they signed two guys, and I don't think any of them are going to be Kenneth Walker, but, you know, nonetheless, good talent to help replace him.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that over time, that when you take a look at how college football is going to start to lay out, the free agency thing is going to work for a lot of teams that are struggling to refill slots and refill positions in the recruiting class, especially if their stadiums aren't as bright, the nights aren't as fun. Some of those teams can make a run again. Some of those teams have an opportunity to convince, hey, you know, you're not getting too much time there sitting on the bench at LSU or at Bama. Why don't you come over here and start and see if you can revive anything that you had when you were, you know, 4 or 5-star recruit 2 or 3 years ago. And I think that people are going to get some hidden gems. I think that's going to lead for a lot more dark horse teams, a lot more teams to be, you know, valuable. I do still think, and I do want to get to this shortly, I do still think that there are the normal teams that are going to pursue their, you know, championship run this year. Mm-hmm. But I also do still feel like there's more openness, at least outside of the bottom four. It's not going to be, you know, a top 7 or a top 10 of usual contenders, at least from the bottom four down.
I think that was a perfect segue into what I was just about to bring up, Dre, because I'm currently looking at the AP preseason top 25 poll, and I kind of wanted to break that down with you guys and get your thoughts. Some surprises to me, especially, you know, Clemson at 4. And again, not sure if this is my Ohio State bias indirectly here, but I've spoken to actually a few Clemson fans that are a little upset, or not upset, but more so shocked that they were ranked this high to start the year, given, you know, the inconsistencies on the offensive side of the ball. Like, their offense was just, quite frankly, dog shit last year. And they lost arguably the top assistant coach in the country in Venables, as well as Streeter on the offensive side of the ball. So, you know, two new coordinators, unproven offense, a lot of question marks, but their defense is definitely going to be there. Clemson fans I was talking about were expecting them to be more in the 8-9 range. Same can kind of be said for Notre Dame. Not really sure there as well. And then before I turn it over to you guys, one team that I thought, frankly, was a little disrespected was Penn State. Not even a top 25 acknowledgement for Penn State was a little shocking to me, given just, you know, the defense that they typically have, as well as, you know, a sixth year starter this year with Sean Clifford and what seems to be a little bit better offensive line. So yeah, I was just pretty shocked about that.
Yeah. I mean, Clemson is, to me, one of those teams, and I want to bring it back to Clemson, is they're in a good position right now. I think it's one of those things that, Mike, you remember we talked about this last year. You have one bad year and you're still, what was it, 11-1 or 10-2?
Like 10-3. Yeah.
Yeah. 10-2, 10-3. And it's like, oh, the world is ending. Clemson, you have a very, very much like in comparison to the SEC, you have a cakewalk of a schedule this year in terms of who you need to face up and who you need to battle it out with. You're going to have a few games where you're going to have some ifs, but for the most part, you should be fine. One team that I did think was interestingly placed a little bit low here, and they're typically in the top five, top six every year, which is Oklahoma. I don't want people to think that, you know, I'm supporting them in some sort of way because they are under, you know, reconstruction. But at the same time, I am supporting them because look who they picked back up as their head coach, a guy who's been there previously with the program. This isn't anything new to them. They didn't lose that much over the year, and it wasn't the greatest recruiting year for them. But, you know, they still have a lot of talent there, and they still definitely have a chance to be top four again. You know, the Big 12 is going to be competitive, but I do think that there is some room for Oklahoma to make a name for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think with Oklahoma, we got accustomed to the Lincoln Riley offense year in, year out. They had Heisman candidates at QB. And, you know, we just assumed Spencer Rattler / Caleb Williams would be that same guy, and they weren't last year. Even though Caleb Williams looked really good at times, and now Rattler has his fresh start. But it's just going to be a new team, and you're not going to be able – you know, Brent Venables is not going to be Lincoln Riley. They're not going to be putting up 45 points a game. But they're going to have a better defense. And, you know, he had a very good defense for 10 years there at Clemson, and there's no denying that. So, you know, they picked up Dylan Gabriel from UCF. They have Eric Gray coming back. They have Marvin Mims, Theo Weiss. They got guys there on offense still. So while they're not going to be top five offense, like they'll still have a solid offense. I think they'll be, you know, 9-3, 10-2 type season. They're still going to be very good. Going back to Clemson, I'm kind of back on the Clemson hype train. Their defense is just so stacked, and you know, they had a lot of injuries last year. You know, they're getting Brian Receive back, Miles Murphy, Xavier Thomas, Tyler Davis. That's an insane D-line. And for most teams, that's too much to handle. You lose guys like Andrew Booth, James Skalski in the back end of their defense. But especially with their secondary, they always seem to recruit guys. They have guys at corner that are dogs. And on offense, I think if DJ struggles at the beginning of the year, you know, they could go back to Cade Klubnik, 5-star freshman, very similar to Trevor Lawrence's introduction to college football, taking over for Kelly Bryant. So, you know, DJ knows he has to play better this year. I think it was just kind of a down year. Tough game against Georgia week one. They couldn't get anything going. And it kind of like snowballed, and they weren't scoring points. They're struggling against like Georgia Tech and Boston College. I think Dabo is going to have him ready this year, and he seems to feed off negative energy very well.
Yeah, it's an interesting point about Clemson too, because their three toughest games, I would make the argument this year. Obviously, the two ranked games they have, October 1st is NC State at home, which is a top five, top 15 team. And then they have November 19th, the week before rivalry week, they have Miami at home. And then rivalry week this year with the Gamecocks is also at home. So the trend there is three of your toughest games at home in Death Valley. And we know how Clemson plays at home. So, you know, that it is a tougher schedule on paper, but when you start to unpack it, I think that there is definitely room to struggle a little bit for Clemson this year and still maintain a pretty flawless record. So I understand the top, the ranking up there. I was just a little surprised that, you know, the media was giving them the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. So
if you don't mind me asking, who's your, I guess I would say you could call that your highest expected team, I guess, to say team with the highest expectations that you're looking at right now.
So I'll go first. I mean, mine, this is tough. I guess I'll kind of give you two, and I guess that's a little cheating, but I'll give you the one that I firmly believe in, and then the one that is kind of on the side here. So the team I firmly believe in, and it's kind of a tough sell because they're already a top 10 team, is Utah. I think Utah, just for no other reason other than just the energy that you saw out of that team last year and the amount of returning talent they have. Tavian Thomas is going to be back. You know, Cameron Rising is going to be back. And just their home atmosphere is really good. We'll get to see how well they are going to be on the road. They don't play well on the road. They struggled mightily last year on the road, and they open up against Florida this year. So that'll be a good test for them. But I think, you know, if they can get through the meat of their schedule, they're one of the teams that I have kind of pegged as a dark horse to make the playoff if there was to be a team from the Pac-12. I just want to see a little bit more from Oregon. Going to withhold judgment on them until they play Georgia week one. And then my other team that I could definitely see, just more so given the strength or lack of within the conference, is NC State. I really like NC State. And I think if they beat Clemson and take the driver's seat in the ACC, then that kind of shoes them in as well into the playoff. They have one of the, in my opinion, one of the most underrated quarterbacks heading into the season in Devin Leary. He's an absolute beast. If you don't know who he is, you will soon. But yeah, those would be my two teams that are on my radar.
I guess for me, I was going to say Utah as well. I could touch on why I'm so high on them. They had some big time transfers on defense. You know, they lost Devin Lloyd. They already had like a very good structural defense. You got Clark Phillips at corner, who's an All-American. And they're just one of those teams that is just fundamentally sound. They're not going to have five-star talent, you know, flying around like the Bamas, the Georgias, and, you know, Ohio States. But they had a better defense than Ohio State last year. And didn't really see that in the Rose Bowl. But they were a very stable program last year after Cameron Rising took over. They struggled a little bit at the beginning of the year. Charlie Brewer didn't really pan out at QB like many expected. And then once Cameron Rising took over, you know, they were the Pac-12 champion, undisputed. And, you know, especially with teams like USC down, Oregon kind of came back a little bit last year, but they've been down since their Chip Kelly days. Utah was rock solid on defense, and they had a lot of talent on offense too. Britton Covey is gone now. You got Tavian Thomas returning. So I like them as well as a dark horse playoff contender. And I think that week one matchup versus Florida benefits them a lot, as opposed to playing them late in the season. You know, they got a new coach, Billy Napier, his first big game. I'm not sure that they have the talent that they're accustomed to. They have some pieces there, but Florida's kind of been down in recent years. So under their new coach, not sure how they'll do against an experienced Utah defense. Another team that stood out to me kind of in an opposite way is Texas A&M, ranked 6th. And that seems a little bit too high for me, considering they beat Bama last year. They slayed the Dragon. Jimbo Fisher became the first assistant to defeat Nick Saban, you know, the Grandmaster. But they still went, 8-4 in the regular season?
Yeah.
They don't have a quarterback, man. It's as simple as that.
They don't have a proven QB. They have, no doubt, you know, best recruiting class of all time last year. But how many of those guys are going to play? I think we're going to see 2-3 years from now, you know, they're going to have like a Georgia caliber defense, you know, 5 stars at every position. They're going to be insane. They're going to be sending guys to the first and second round of the draft. But that's not going to happen this year. And, you know, the SEC West is really tough. There's not really a bad team in that division. So, you know, I don't think Bama's going to skate through the SEC West this year. And I don't have a prediction yet on who they're going to lose to. But, like, even, like, Auburn, who's not a very talented team this year, they didn't look too good. Like, they gave Bama a great game last year. They almost upset them in the Iron Bowl. Like, you can never count out teams like Auburn, LSU, Mississippi State returned 17 starters, and they have Will Rogers and Mike Leach in that high-powered passing offense. You know, you have the Lane Kiffin-led Ole Miss team, who brought over some key, a lot of transfers. So that's really a gauntlet of a division. And I just don't see Texas A&M, you know, finishing high enough. You know, that would require like an 11-1 type season. I just don't see that happening yet.
Yeah. I think so. Both of you definitely covered two teams that I really love this year. I want to see Texas A&M as a high expectation team in terms of what they did not do last year in comparison to what they could do this year, especially given the fact that they are given such an early heads up that you are expected to be good this year. I think that that's going to be a really important point for them. Utah, of course, I have high expectations for them just based upon what they did last year, the amount of returners that they have. Two teams that I do want to mention that are sitting at the bottom of the top 25 is Cincinnati and Houston. I know nobody is thinking about Cincy or probably Houston, but again, we weren't thinking about them a few years back. So Cincy really is bringing back a good portion of their D-line. You know, they did lose a few of their, you know, corners and some of their back half of the defense, but they are bringing back a good body of work there, and they don't have a crazy, you know, schedule. And I think that Houston definitely has an opportunity since they did bring even more back than Cincy, and they were just as good as Cincy, and they gave Cincy a run for their money before they got into that top four last year. So those two teams can easily make that statement for themselves, being out of that, you know, Power Five conference, general, you know, Power Five school area. So I think that those two teams are going to be interesting to watch just as we continue to progress. I don't want anybody to, again, forget that these teams, like a Houston, more so in particular than Cincy, could finish out 11-1. It isn't too far out of picture. It shouldn't be. And they hopefully would finish undefeated and could probably make a run back the same way Cincy did.
I think another team, too, that we haven't mentioned yet, that's maybe worth mentioning for just intriguing reasons this year, is Michigan. I'm really interested to see how, because this is going to be the first time under Coach Harbaugh that Michigan, for lack of a better word, really accomplished meaningful, you know, a meaningful season. They beat Ohio State. They won the Big Ten championship. Obviously, they got absolutely demolished by Georgia in the playoff. But, you know, they got there, and that was something that they hadn't done yet. They had not slayed their dragons, and they were able to last year. So it'll be interesting to see how that team handles the success. In my opinion, I'm just not a huge Cade McNamara fan. I think Michigan becomes probably twice or three times the dangerous offense if they have J.J. McCarthy under center. He's just a better athlete. But McNamara is a pretty good field general and definitely a good game manager. And he took them there that last year. So there's just going to be another team where, you know, they're probably going to have one of the, if not the most talented O-lines in the country. They're losing a lot of firepower on the D-line with Aiden Hutchinson and Ajabo leaving, but they still have some freaky athletes there. And then one of the biggest guys that I'm actually is on my radar is the corner, Will Johnson. So, he's potential to be a superstar for them right out of the gate, for a team that frankly has badly needed a superstar in the secondary until they got Daxton Hill. So I just think that, you know, at eight to me has always been a really nice sleeper position to start the year. You're up there, you're in the mix, but nobody's really talking about you as a top five team. So it's just going to be interesting to see how that team handles the new success that they enjoyed last year.
That's a great point. Team that you're excited to watch first week, team that you're most excited to watch for the first week.
Week zero.
Yeah. Week zero.
I think the only game I'm going to be tuning into is the Nebraska Northwestern game. And that's, week zero has never really been a big week for college football, but you know, they're going over to Ireland for that game. It'll be interesting to see. You got two programs that underperformed last year. You got Northwestern. They seem to teeter between being a dark horse Big Ten team to going 3-9. You know, they're never a team that has a ton of talent, but they're very well coached, usually very solid on defense. And then you got Nebraska. They haven't made a bowl game under Scott Frost. They've been very disappointing. Of course, last year, everybody always talks about, you know, all their one score games, you know, best 3-9 team of all time. But if that happens again, you know, nobody's going to care if how many points you lose by, you know, if you have another, you know, season without going to a bowl game. So I think it's a chance for both of those teams. You know, people are going to be watching that game this weekend. What type of statement they make. And, you know, for Nebraska especially, the pressure's on for Scott Frost to make a bowl game, take that next step. And Big Ten West is up for the taking. It always seems to be. You have like your Iowas and Wisconsin that are pretty consistent year in, year out. Then you have teams that, you know, Purdue can, you know, come out of nowhere, you know, make a big upset like they did against Ohio State a few years ago. And then some years they're losing to Eastern Michigan. So it's a very interesting division and it's a wide open race. So Nebraska plays sound football against Northwestern. Maybe they're finally, you know, competing for that division.
Pittsburgh and West Virginia. And here is the reasoning behind that. So Pitt is a 7-point favorite in that game. And I don't want to say I'm like selling on Pittsburgh here, but I'm really cautious about that team this year because I know they picked up Keaton Slovis, but they're going to be, this is the first year really that their team ever since they beat Clemson, which was like probably 6 years ago about, they kind of just fell into darkness. And now Kenny Pickett in the NFL making waves with the Steelers. And they had the top, they had the Blidnikoff winner last year that went out to USC, Jordan Addison. Like, eyes are going to be on that team. They're just outside the top 15. I just don't know how good they're going to be this year. So I really want to see week one away against West Virginia, how they're going to play. I think potentially, you know, I mean, we're not making picks or anything, but if you wanted to, if you wanted me to point to a potential upset week one, I mean, I think West Virginia has as good of a chance as any. So I'm definitely tuning into that one.
Another game, and I think now that the game that I really wanted to see is covered for that week zero. Central Michigan, Oklahoma State. I know I'm an Oklahoma State fan, but Central Michigan is a group full of dogs. I wouldn't put it past Oklahoma State to at least not cover the spread. It just wouldn't surprise me if it did happen. And we've been the team to lose in a week zero before, sadly. So it'll be exciting. I think Oklahoma State has a lot to prove going into this year. Very similarly, there's a lot of schools like Pitt, schools that have lost some pieces that are major pieces, especially outside of players, even on the coaching end, like at Clemson. We did lose one of the best defensive coordinators in the nation to Ohio State. So it'll be interesting to just see how that flip really works. I mean, we've been a good program for the past few years, but Central Michigan could give you a scare. I'm not going to lie.
And football is back. That's all that really matters.
You'll, like, I've you'll been have watching, a good time getting back.
I've been watching, sir, man. I was getting bored of watching European football. We need some American football in this.
Yeah, like I've been watching preseason football, and it's cool to watch like a quarter – you know, see some of the rookies and young guns playing, but it's kind of like a sampler. Like week one's going to be crazy. We'll talk about it more next week.
Carolina will be interesting. Let's see how they do. Let's see how they fare. I think that they've had a few solid seasons prior to this. I don't think that they've, you know, fallen too hard in terms of what they brought in, you know, in previous years. But we'll see if they can, you know.
UNC?
Yeah. See if they can continue to be a competitor even whenever they're not given the opportunity. That's what I like to see.
Yeah, I mean, they announced Drake May as their starter. This is a guy that decommitted from Bama a few years ago in the midst of the COVID pandemic. And, I mean, if you have Mack Brown as your coach, you can never be counted out. You know, they went toe-to-toe with Clemson a few years ago. A little bit disappointing of a season last year. They had high expectations, but – ACC will be interesting to follow this year. There's a lot of sleeper teams there, a lot of teams that have something to prove, like Mike mentioned, NC State. You got Wake Forest, who just lost Sam Hartman, for who knows how long, which is a big blow for them. You got Miami. Miami might be back finally after 20 years.
I'm reluctant to say it. But yeah, possibly they could be. We'll see. No diss to Miami fans. So.
Yeah.
Hey, one team that we haven't mentioned that I do want to make sure we mention before we wrap up here is I kind of wanted to get you guys' opinions on Texas. Texas didn't really get ranked, which to me was a little counterintuitive if you go back the last 6 years where Texas hasn't necessarily had a great roster. They've been ranked really well. There's been a lot of hype, and then they just kind of fall apart. This season, it seems to be the opposite where they're coming into the season. They actually have, like, arguably on paper, one of the best offenses in the country and a defense that, you know, maybe is getting a little bit better. Maybe I don't know. We never know with Texas. But just you'd figure on paper, if you go back and look at the squads, if ever there was an argument for them to be ranked going into the year, I would think that this year would be the one, and it was the year that they were not. So just wanted to get your guys' opinions on that.
Yeah. I mean, look, Texas is back has become a meme ever since that Tom Herman year. And they just have not lived up to that. One of the most talented programs in the country, you know, and they're going 7-5. They went 5-7 one year. There's just no excuse for that if you have that much talent. But I think something's kind of shifted. You know, last year, they lost a tough game to Oklahoma. They blew the lead. But I think that was kind of the moment where people were like, this team, they played hard. And if it weren't for that miraculous Caleb Williams performance, you know, they would have won that game. I'm not a believer until they could be consistent. But week one, they're going to play Bama, and everyone's going to be, you know, they're not ranked. They have a chip on their shoulder now. And they got some very high-end talent. You got Bijan Robinson, probably the best running back in the country. So fun to watch him play. You got Quinn Ewers, who just got announced as a starter, one of the best recruits of all time. We'll see how he does. There are reports that he might not start. Hudson Card was the other guy that
– No, he's starting week one. They made
he is starting, yeah. But there's some reports that Hudson Card was going to take over, which would have been quite shocking. And they got – you know, Xavier Worthy, the superstar freshman receiver last year. So they have some guys on offense. And I think, like, week one against Bama, I don't think they're going to be in the game in the last 5 minutes of the fourth. But I think they're going to make some plays, and people are going to – Bama's not just going to smoke them. It's not going to be like a runaway game. Like, it's going to – they're going to be within a few scores in the fourth quarter.
We're gonna keep that clip, Greg.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm honestly not that surprised. It's not like I'm. It's not a bad thing for me to not be surprised for once. That's what I'm trying to say. For once, I'm not surprised that Texas is not in the top 25. I feel like I should be. As Mike pointed out, I feel like I should be surprised, but I'm not, and I don't think it has. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it has anything to do with their talent on paper. I think it has more to do with watching them grow and progress as they all become a little bit more involved in the Texas program. I think it has a lot to do with more so of what that program stands for long before Sark was there and long before any of that mess of a life decided to occur, you know. After you say we're back and then, you know, you have a few shitty more years after that. I think they need to redefine their reputation as a Big 12 contender. And I think they always can be. It's always an open conference for Texas. Now, whether they want to be is up to them. So I think that Texas, it doesn't surprise me. Texas should be back, though. They should be back soon. Not yet, but soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe this is the year. To your point, Greg, Andre, that, you know, maybe they have a chip on their shoulders. They kind of grow into the team as opposed to trying to fill shoes in the spotlight. But yeah, you just have to imagine that if they don't get it done this year with what they have offensively, at least Sark is going to be cashing checks.
Hot seat. Hot
in another, listen, I'm in saying another city. 9-3 this year, I think. I don't see them. I don't think they're going to be consistent enough, even with the talent they have. They might have a big win over like an Oklahoma or a Baylor. I don't see them beating Bama week one, but I think they're going to be competitive with Bama, especially like, you know, Bijan Robinson having that high-end talent and Xavier Worthy. Like, those are two of the best players in the country. And Quinn Ewers has that potential. We'll see what happens with him. But I think it's, you know, that game against Bama is going to be a track meet. You know, a lot of scoring, even with Bama's defense. I mean, it's very hard to contain players of that caliber.
Yeah. I think best case scenario, Texas runs a 9-3 record.
Mm-hmm.
Worst case, I think they could end up back maybe 7-5, somewhere in there. And they could drop one to Kansas State, mm-hmm. dark horse in the Big 12. Could definitely lose to Oklahoma State, could definitely lose to Oklahoma, and could definitely lose to Bama. They could probably drop Baylor. One more in there. Yeah, Baylor. Baylor's, mm-hmm. yeah. It could be an ugly season for Texas, and I can see why they're unranked. That's the reason why I say I'm not surprised, but I am surprised, only simply due to what they were able to do in the transfer portal and what they were able to pick up. So it's going to be interesting. I like watching Texas, though. It's always fun to watch a Texas game because there is so many high hopes before the game and a lot of sad faces afterwards.
A lot of crushed spirits.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, guys, I do want to do a lightning round with you guys. I'm just going to give you a couple of teams, players. You're going to tell me if you buy or sell. All right, so we're just going to run through it. I'm going to start off with Oregon at 11, Dan Lanning. And Bo Nix, you guys are buying the Ducks or selling the Ducks this year?
So,
I say sell. They're not going to be top 10, but they should be solid still.
Top 25, I was going to say bottom half of the top 25, probably.
Yeah.
All right, Graham Mertz and the Wisconsin Badgers.
Sell Graham Mertz, but I think Wisconsin, they don't need good QB play to go 9-3. So I'm buying Wisconsin this year. I think they're going to be 9-3, 10-2, probably matching up in the Big Ten championship, but selling Graham Mertz.
I'm going to go sell on this one. And I think it's for eerily similar reasons. I don't think that they're going to be one of the teams that slides into the Big Ten and makes a ton of noise. But I think for expectations reasonably placed, they'll be fine. They'll be fine, and I think that they always kind of have been. They live up to their reasonable expectations.
Okay, Arkansas at 19, Sam Pittman and the Razorbacks. Buy or sell?
I'm buying. First buy, I'm going to buy it. And I say this because I have a lot of faith in this Arkansas program to finally turn this thing around. They had a monster year at that transfer portal. And I think that they have something there. Like, I think that there is something in Arkansas boiling, and there is something about their football program that people are excited for again. Like, I'm watching Arkansas videos again. That's exciting for Arkansas. It hasn't been like that in a minute. So I think Arkansas has a chance. I don't see them being the team that wins the SEC. But do I think that they can definitely give some teams some headaches this year? Hell yeah. I'm buying.
I'm a tweener on Arkansas, but gun to the head, I'm going to go sell for at least for top 15. There's just so much talent in that SEC West. I think they're going to win a big game this year against like a Bama or an A&M. It's going to be a statement win, but you know, week in, week out, you know, people know them as a good team. Now they're going to run the ball really well. They're going to be really physical. They lose Treylon Burks, which is absolutely a big deal. I think they're going to go 8-4, very solid season, but I don't see how they are a top 15 team, especially week one against Cincinnati. That's going to be a big test for them. If they show up and they win that game, who knows, maybe they're the real deal, but I'm going to say sell on top 15.
All right, two more real quick for you guys. Will Levis and the Kentucky Wildcats at 20, buy or sell?
I feel like I should say buy on this one, but I'm gonna sell. I feel like buying Kentucky is definitely another program Bobby Boy's brother Mikey has done a great job. I think that it's just there's something there too, and it's another one of those things. It's like a gut feeling for me. I don't necessarily know that Kentucky's going to have one of those major runs of a season for them to even stay top 25 at this point. But they are a great program, and I do think that they have a chance on their better side to definitely stay where they're at bare minimum, maybe even make a few jumps.
I'm buying. SEC at East is wide open. Florida's down. You have Tennessee, who's on the rise, but I don't think they're quite there yet. I think they might be the second best team in that division behind Georgia. You know, they're going to have very consistent run game and O-line play. They're a very physical team as well, you know, kind of similar to Arkansas. And I think, like, Will Levis, I'm not sold on him right now as being a top 10 NFL prospect, but people like to throw that like Josh Allen type comparison at him. Even if he's not the real deal, last year they had a good year and he threw 13 picks and they still had a good season. So I don't necessarily think he needs to be a superstar for them to have a good season, but yeah, I'm gonna be very interested to see how Will Levis does this year, because I'm not buying, you know, a top 10 draft pick.
Do you guys know that Will Levis eats bananas with the skin on?
Just can't be.
That's pretty wild. All right, and then the last one I have to do it to you guys. USC, Lincoln Riley, are we buying or are we selling in year one?
As what?
Whatever you want, buy or sell the Trojans.
Year one, I'm selling. I think their offense is going to be really good. I mean, you got Caleb Williams, Travis Dye, Jordan Addison coming over in the transfer portal. But I think it's the same deal as Oklahoma. You have that, you know, top five offense. I don't see a good defense there. And they're the most talented team in the conference, but I think they're going to drop games that they should win because they're going to get complacent. And it's year one, Lincoln Riley. I don't think he's fully going to install his offense year one. I'm selling them. I think, you know, Utah is going to finish higher than them and they're going to defeat them. And I think early October, that's going to be a big game to watch, but I'm not buying USC year one.
I'm going to have to sell too. And it's not solely because of Lincoln Riley. I think it also has to do with they did have a monster year in the transfer portal, but they didn't get very much in recruiting. And I think it has something to do with what they've had to experience. And it's not like Lincoln Riley is going to be able to make that flip like day and night. This is a brand new school, unlike Brent Venables is having to deal with. You know, this is a brand new school in Cali. And I do think that there is some value to where they're placed at right now, because I think that they could be a good team if they get out to a hot start. But, you know, they're going to have their challenges, and I don't necessarily see them staying top 15, maybe even top 20 this year, sadly.
Yeah. And like, people will point to Lincoln Riley stepping in at Oklahoma. I think he went 12-2 his first 3 years, but that was a ready made program.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's inheriting a program that was very good in the early 2000s. That
Reggie
Bush. Oh man. Matt Leinart.
Mark Sanchez, baby.
Hell yeah. Sanchez.
Those Pete Carroll teams, you know, back in the mid 2000s, they had some crazy winning streaks. And this is a team that hasn't won 10 games in a long time. Yeah. So it's, you know, he has some work to do, and it might not happen at once. I think that's unrealistic to expect, you know, college football playoff contention, like some people are saying.
That's a little high.
Yeah.
A lot high.
All right. Well, there you have it, everybody. Thank you again for hopping on the show. We will be switching to a video format very soon. So excited to do that. And we're going to be getting more content out to you guys via social media this year as well. Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. So make sure once we start posting that stuff that you're following us on all of that. Thanks again. Greg, once again, welcome to the team. It's going to be a great year. Should be the most exciting year of college football yet. We're very excited to have the privilege to walk through it with all of you fans. So thanks again for watching the show, and we will catch you again on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to Slightly Offsides. We'll catch you next time.